All right. All right, now we got the live stream going. At least hopefully everything's working right. And let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5 again. Now you're going to hear an awful lot about Galatians chapter 5 over the next few weeks. We'll be talking about that and going through this. And Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 13. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these, manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God that we just read, and I just pray you'd help me as we preach and teach. I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing, and Lord, I can't do anything without your Spirit doing what needs to be done. So Lord, help me to preach clearly and straightforwardly, and Lord, I just pray your Spirit would have his way in every heart. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless the services tonight, bless each one that's listening, and Lord, we just thank you for all that you've given us in this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I preached Sunday morning on the fruit of the Spirit is love, and I'm going to continue that as a theme in a lot of the preaching to go along with the Sunday school teaching that we're doing on going through the book of Acts and looking at everybody that was filled with the Holy Ghost there. And but you know, when I talked last week about love, I talked about three basic things. I talked about the love of God. I talked about the love of the brethren, and then love for lost and dying world, that type of love that comes from the Spirit of God. But you know, I did miss something in that message, at least I believe I did. I was just thinking about it as I was thinking about this message, and you know, just an amazing thing that when a believer is indwelt with the Spirit, we actually have the great privilege And the ability is imparted to us to love like God loves. You know, there's no way I could ever love the way God loves without His Spirit and without the work of the Spirit. Can't have the love of God in that way. And that's a great privilege, by the way. And I don't think we appreciate it near enough. But then he said also, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And once again, we'll iterate that when it says the fruit of the Spirit, it says it in the singular. So all of these things are the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's not plural. It's the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that naturally come out when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, or filled with the Spirit, or yielded to the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, or led by the Spirit, whatever terminology you want to use for it, when the Spirit of God has preeminence in the heart of an individual, these are the things that will be made manifest. Amen. And one of them is joy. The next one is joy. And the when you talk about joy, and I'm going to kind of go haphazard with my Bible references tonight, and I'm just going to kind of walk through some things. But when you talk about joy, we're not talking, just like we were talking about love, we're not talking about mankind's definition of joy. We're talking about God's definition of joy. All right? We're talking about a joy that, you know, Bible talks about a love that passeth knowledge and a peace that passeth understanding. And we'll talk about that when we get to peace. And the reality about the joy of God, it's the type of joy that is not dependent on your circumstances. It's based upon your relationship with God. It's based upon, it's in such a way that it's not something that can be taken away by the world or what the world does or what the devil does. You can have joy. Paul said, he said, none of these things move me that I might finish my course with what? Joy. Right? And then it said about the Lord Jesus Christ, about Him going to the cross, it said in the book of Hebrews, it said that who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He went and He did that, but there was joy in doing that. And so when we talk about joy, we're not just talking about a feeling of elation. That may very well be there, but there's a deeper joy than just having some euphoric feeling where you just kind of all happy and up and all the different adjectives you could use for that term. A lot of times people get into a service and things get exciting and people get happy and they start shouting, and that could be a manifestation of joy, but it could also not be. Yeah, I was just thinking about it. A lot of times I was actually thinking about a message about self-righteousness, and I've been meditating on that one, about that wicked sin of self-righteousness. And, you know, you have a bunch of people there that say, well, I spoke in tongues, and they somehow think that anybody who hadn't spoken in tongues is lesser, right? They're kind of puffed up, aren't they? And it talks about people like that, and I've heard people sit there and say, you know, who like to raise their hand. There's nothing wrong with raising your hand unless you're raising your hands to impress people. You know, if you want to lift up your hands in the service and act like you're more spiritual somehow than somebody who didn't lift their hands, well, that's, you just puffed up. That's all that is. Or if you are looking at everybody who raises their hands as if, oh, they're all a bunch of fakes, then you're just puffed up, right? We're good at doing that. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people and there's a lot of shouting and what the old time preachers, instead of fire, is what they used to call wildfire. It wasn't real. It wasn't from God. And joy can be that way. So joy is not just manifest. Did you know that you could have your eyes full of tears and still be filled with joy? Did you know you could go through any amount of trial and tribulation and still be filled with joy? And the Bible has a lot to say about that. In Psalm 21 and verse 1, it says this. It says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice." You know, one of the marks of joy that is born and produced by the Holy Ghost, that is the fruit of the Spirit, is a joy that magnifies God, that looks up to heaven and is happy and thankful for the power and the glory of your God. And not only that, that rejoices in the salvation of God. That's an evidence of Spirit-filled joy, if you want to call it that. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19 says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Habakkuk 3:18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." Having joy at nothing more than the person of our God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just having joy because He's our God, He's our Father. Just a joyousness. Just a joyousness. Holy Spirit joy, if you will. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And a lot of times, we kind of overlook that. We're too busy looking down here for happiness. And you know, the thing about it is, you know, we joy in the person of God, you can't really do that if you don't joy in the Word of God. Because that describes His character, doesn't it? And you know, it's kind of hard to love God if you don't love the Word of God. Would you agree to that statement? It's kind of hard to joy in God. And so many people, we don't find people, I mean, they read their Bibles and they don't get anything out of it, or it's just something I've got to check off. It becomes a burden of study. And I mean, I've known young men that have gone off to be preachers in the seminary, and I'm not against them going to a Bible college or something like that and learning. There can be value if you got good teachers. Good teachers are always a good blessing. They're a good thing. But man, I've seen some people sit there and go into the ministry of one sort or another, and in the preaching ministries, and then sit there and listen to them bellyache about, "Oh man, I got all this studying I got to do." What do you mean you got all this studying? You have the great privilege to study the Bible. And I learned something. I was very fortunate because I learned something very early on as a young Christian after I got saved. You know, I was in the shipyard and I just got saved, and I don't know why, but God gave me a hunger for the Word of God, and I was reading the Bible constantly, and there was nothing I got more joy out of than just reading and learning the Bible. And then allow it, and then God, you know, I'd sit there and that Mormon elder would come over there, or a fellow that was a Mormon, he'd come over there, shipyard worker, whatever he was. I don't know what he was in their church, a deacon or whatever he was. But boy, he zeroed in on me like a duck on a June bug, because he found out I just got saved. And you know, the other people that had professed strong Christian faith, he didn't bother them. But when he found out that I had just gotten saved, he zeroed in on me. And he was constantly trying to feed me Mormon doctrine. But I was going and I was getting up in the morning before daylight and reading until it was time for to get up to go to breakfast and muster. And then I'd go and then I'd get off at lunch and I'd skip lunch and read the Bible. And then I'd get off and if I had liberty, I'd come back and I'd just go back to reading my Bible till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Then sleep for a few hours and get up early and read more. And it was just an amazing thing that, I mean, this went on literally for probably, I want to say at least 3 or 4 months, that that's all I did was just read the Bible and study and pray. And I was happy. I was rejoicing. And then I'd get in there and he'd be trying to twist me around and I would, almost every time I would have just read something that night or the night before or something like that or the day before or maybe even that morning I'd read something that contradicts what he was trying to tell me. And I'd say, wait a minute. And I believe God protected me from him and I'm so thankful for that. But I can tell you one thing, I still find joy in just reading the Bible. I find joy in the Word of God. And you can't really joy in God if you don't joy in the Word of God. And you can say, oh, I love the Lord. But if you neglect His Word, how can you say you love Him? You know, it's just, you can't do that. He says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. By whom now we have received the atonement. We joy in God. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, I understand that being a Christian means persecutions. Being a Christian means sufferings. It means tribulations. There's a lot of different things that we may have to deal with. We have an adversary, the devil. We have the war. We have the world. We have war with the world, at war with the flesh. There's a battle going on. I mean, we just read it in there. He said, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, lust against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit. There's a battle going on. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you walk after the flesh, you will not be spiritual. But when we walk after the spirit, we are not carnal. And so whichever one you yield yourself to, that's be the one that's going to take precedence, and that's the one that's going to get the victory, and whichever one you feed is going to get the victory. So we're told about that, and as we read about that, but he says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There may be a battle, but being a Christian brings pleasures. There are pleasures to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not fleshly pleasure. It's better than that. I was talking to a fellow yesterday and he was telling me about issues he had with his wife's health problems and he said, you know, he told me, he said, you know, preacher, sometimes I get to where I feel like I want to quit and I'm just doing things because I know I need to do them and everything like that. And I said, you know, the greatest form of love is just to choose to love. And not just choose to feel something or try to make yourself feel something, but choose to do the right thing regardless of how you feel. And that's a great example of love. But I think a lot of times we stop looking for the fact that in this joy, in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there's pleasures evermore. There are joys to walking in the Spirit. You get to see things that other people don't get to see. You not only get to see the world clearly, but you get to see God clearly too. And when we start seeing God clearly, guess what happens? The world doesn't look near as scary. The flesh doesn't look near as big to have victory over. You know, like I said, we have a tendency to self-righteousness. We have a tendency to self-righteousness. You know, there's always the temptation when you see people doing something right that you don't do anymore. Better be careful when you look down your nose at them and somehow think, I'm not like that anymore. You know? And if you start despising people like that and becoming self-righteous, you might find yourself right back down there. I'm just saying that. But you know, there is a right idea. I look at people all the time, and you know, I see people that are in bondage to tobacco, to alcohol, to drugs, to different behaviors and things like that. Immorality. And I'll say to the Lord, I'm so thankful You just delivered me. This is where I should be. Were it not for You, Lord, that's where I'd be. And you know what? When you start thinking that way, guess what? That helps you have compassion on people, doesn't it? That should be me. But Jesus delivered me. Jesus saved me. Jesus gave me the victory, and there, that's a wonderful thing to be able. That's one of the greatest pleasures as a Christian, to be able to look and say, that's where I used to be, but by God's grace I'm here now, and by His grace I'll be further along the path, and I can take people with me if they'll just hear, if they'll just listen. And then there's other joys. There's other joys that the world won't ever know, and the joy of seeing somebody saved and knowing what's happened. And Jesus said in Luke 15:10, He said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Where do you think the angels get that joy? They get that joy from the Lord. And you know what? We can have that joy too, of seeing somebody and understanding the world can never have a joy like that. The world mostly rejoices when Christians fall, don't they? And when somebody gets saved, it just irritates the fire out of them, don't it? I mean, you know, if you're following the devil, you'd get mad if somebody got saved. Especially if it's somebody close to you. And you know how it is, and I mean, it takes all forms. But we can have the joy of the salvation of souls. And I would venture to say the fact that people don't get excited over souls being saved is evidence that there is no fruit. That fruit of the Spirit is not there. They're not Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled people ought to be happy when somebody gets saved. They ought to be happy to be able, and the pleasure of being able to take the gospel out to people. Psalm 27:6 says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. you know, rejoicing and sacrificing things for the cause of Christ and having joy, those sacrifices are worthwhile. They're born of the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about the sacrifices. If you go over to, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 13. If you were to go over there to that chapter, and I believe he says this. Let me get there real quick. He says, Hebrews 13 verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. But notice he talked about there, he talked about the sacrifices of praise. Right? That free will offering and that sacrifice of joy. Joying in God even when things are not going well. Even when you're surrounded by enemies. Rejoicing when our brethren get the victory. I mean, Brother Donnie, do you think if Sister Denise gets victory over sin that God rejoices? And do you think if Brother Larry gets victory over sin, God rejoices? Now, if he rejoices over all those people, if he has joy at those people getting the victory, why shouldn't we? If we're seeing, if we're filled with his Spirit, why wouldn't we rejoice on it? Somebody comes to the altar and gets things right with God, and I know people could lie and they can go up to an altar for show. But that, I don't see anybody's heart, neither do you. And time will tell whether they were serious or not. But praise the Lord for them coming to an altar. Praise the Lord when they get the victory. Praise the Lord when they fall down and get back up and call on the Lord and ask for His help. Amen. And confess their sin. Praise the Lord. And we ought to be happy about this. These are things that ought to, if we had joy as in the fruit of the Spirit, that these are things that would be manifest in our midst. Have you ever noticed that the things that you truly have joy in, you like to talk about? Sister Denise has found some personal joy in beekeeping. And you get her talking about bees and she'll just go off on bees. And she talks about bees and honey and everything like that. And talks about it. She likes it. She enjoys it. There's nothing wrong with that. We all have things we like, right? But we claim to be Christians. And we don't have joy in the Lord. We don't want to talk about the Lord. Something's wrong there, isn't it? It's not bad to have these other things. But if that's all you have, what different are we than the world? If we don't have joy in our God. Joy in the person of our God. Joy in the Word of our God. Joy in the work of our God. In the work that God does. And you know what? Even joy in the correction of our God. When God corrects us. In Psalm 30 and verse 5, it says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping it may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, when God chastens us, when He does that, if we go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says something. It says this. Furthermore, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. If God whoops you, it's because He wants you to be like Him. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. That, I mean, he's talking about the correction of God. He's talking about God's anger. He's talking about God correcting. But he says that we, when we are corrected by God, the end of that is joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We go to Psalms, and I could spend a long time just going through the Bible on passages of joy. What I believe is it Psalm 26, where he says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Is that the one it is? No, maybe it's 126. Not 26. Let's look at 126. I may be in the wrong place, but I'm just trying to remember the... 126? Okay. Yes, 126. He said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We always use that passage in relation to soul winning, don't we? And it fits perfectly there, but it doesn't just fit there. It fits when you and I get to the point where we weep over our sins and the sins of others. The end result isn't going to be just continual grief. The end result is going to be joy. Why? Because when we get ourselves out of the way, when we confess our sins, when we put ourselves on the behind and get our eyes on the souls of other people, however you want to do it, whatever it takes, and whenever we put self, die to self and yield to the Spirit, guess what? He'll bring joy. There'll be joy at the end of it. I could do this for absolutely hours. There are so many passages in the Bible about joy and rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord, I say. And again I say rejoice, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, right? So we read scriptures again and again and again. But the joy that is the fruit of the Spirit that is manifested when we are filled with the Spirit is joy in God, joy in the things of God, joy in the work of God, joy in the Word of God, joy in the person of God. It's going to be God-centered. It's going to be Christ-centered. It's going to be real. And it's going to be available to you regardless of circumstances, regardless of what other people say, what other people do. I mean, everybody else could be dead as a doornail and you could have yourself a regular fit. A genuine, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-inspired fit of joy. If you'll just open your heart. If you'll yield yourself to Him. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I don't think I've done this justice, but at least it's a start. You know, if I went on as long as I could on this, we'd be up at midnight. And somebody might fall over and break your neck. We'd have to come ask God to heal them, wouldn't we? But you don't get a lot of people that want that kind of preaching these days, do you? To just, oh, is the preacher ever going to stop? I remember preaching in the nursing home and sitting there preaching, and a lot of those people, they were happy as long as I was there. But you'd always have one or two that would get wheeled in there and they didn't really want to come in the first place. And a lot of those people in the nursing home, I mean, I saw a woman that she got up, we were sharing testimonies, and she got up and she had tears streaming down her cheeks and everything like that. And she said, I've been living with my sister my daughter for the past 5 or 10 years or whatever it was. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what she said. And she's sitting there crying and she said, and I have been begging my daughter to take me to church, to take me to church. And she would never take me to church. I haven't been to church in all this many years. Because she couldn't drive anymore. She couldn't get herself to church. And her daughter wouldn't take her to church, wouldn't let anybody come pick her up. And she's sitting there with tears streaming down her face and said, and I was afraid when they put me in the nursing home. And she said, but I thank God that I'm in a nursing home so I can go to church. Amen. Wow. What a testimony. Here she was. Who wants to go to a nursing home? Nobody. Does anybody want to go to one place? No, I don't want to go there. And I know sometimes there may be a necessity for people to do that. But the reality is that we don't want to go there. But here's a woman who found joy because she was joying in the things of God, and it had been denied her for so long that when she got that nursing home and found out there was going to be a church service and there was going to be Bible preaching and singing about the Lord and everything like that, she was just so excited and so thankful and just sitting there weeping tears of joy to be in a nursing home so she could go to church. Boy, I tell you, when it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, I think she understood that. She's just happy to be in church. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out the service. Father, thank you so much for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Thank you that we can have your joy. That the Bible was written to us that our joy may be full. And Lord, there's so many other passages of Scripture I could have went through in the New Testament and that talk about joy, and the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, and it's in joy and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Father, there's so many other passages Lord, we need that kind of joy. We need to be yielded to the Spirit. Too often, Father, we pray to have joy, and it's right in our reach. And all it's not something that we're to receive in that manner. We receive it in the person of the Holy Ghost who dwells in us. So, Lord, help us to just yield ourselves, say yes to you, say yes to the Spirit, humble ourselves, and Lord, allow you to increase, to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, Lord, that we might have real joy. Help us, Father, and bless the people. Lord, if there's one that's lost, pray for their salvation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.